It's 11 minutes before 8. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The Hames Athletic and Wellness Center and Youth Advocates of Sitka received property tax exemptions at last night's assembly meeting. Hames and YAS both operate on the Sheldon Jackson campus. They asked to be exempted from paying property taxes under the city's community purpose exemption. That rule is for organizations that benefit a significant portion of the public and qualify for federal tax exemptions granted to nonprofits. YAS owns the two-story Armstrong building on the campus and the lot it sits on. Together, they're valued at more than $650,000. Hames operates under Alaska Arts Southeast, the nonprofit that runs Sitka Fine Arts Camp. Its building and land are valued at nearly $2.3 million. Lolly Miller told the assembly that Hames benefits more than just its regular adult members. Miller is the director of the Sheldon Jackson Child Care Center, which sits across the parking lot from Hames. She says the gym keeps her kids and her teachers happy.
When we say we're going to the gym, our kids are screaming before we get there. And so I really would hope that you support their tax exemption. And they do significantly impact the community.
Mayor Cheryl Westover cited the effort both organizations have put into restoring their properties and praised them as models for other communities. And she said that while she would support these particular exemptions, the issue of granting them in general should perhaps go before voters. She says in these two cases, the exemption means the city will have to cover the cost of the taxes that it won't receive.
This is growing as well as a lot of our other bills. And so at some point, nonprofits are going to have more property than a lot of the rest of the people in the community. So that just scares me a little bit down the road, especially during budget time when we're running out of money and that type of thing.
The exemptions for both Hames and YAS were approved unanimously. Roger Schmidt, executive director of Alaska Arts Southeast, says the larger campus was already granted a property tax exemption for educational purposes. Last night, the assembly also spent a lot of time dealing with zoning matters. They granted two permits for short-term rental units on Harbor Mountain Road and Bjorka Street. And assembly members rejected a challenge to an earlier decision. Back in February, the Assembly approved something called a conditional use permit for a daycare center in the home of Don Mahoney Menendez. It allows Menendez to care for more than four children and addresses a neighbor's parking and traffic concerns. But a former Sitka mayor and her husband challenged the Assembly's decision. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Valerie Nelson and her husband Connor live about 4 miles away from the Menendez family, but their home on Little Bird Way has something in common with the First Street property where Don Mahoney Menendez operates the kids' first daycare. They're both considered zero lot lines, properties where the house is built on the edge of the property line. That is not an uncommon feature in Sitka neighborhoods where land is at a premium. The Nelsons argued that the assembly ignored zoning laws in granting the permit for the daycare and raised numerous issues at the assembly table, but their chief concern seemed to be that the assembly's decision could set a precedent that would affect other zero lot line property owners. Connor Nelson.
Then you got to go back and look at all of them and say, well, then in an R2, you can have a church. You can say in a commercial, it's permitted to have a funeral home or a crematorium. So all of a sudden we have these party wall agreements that are very specific. I'll get back into them too. And you buy a unit, your neighbor turns his half into a crematorium.
Not likely, says attorney Corey Bosman, who represents the Menendez family. We should note that Bosman is also a KCAW board member.
To make a leap that if this one is granted, that you guys are going to be granting conditional use permits for zero lot lines all over town for things like crematoriums or churches is really kind of ludicrous. This goes through a very serious vetting process. In this case, three different planning and zoning meetings, now our third assembly meeting. And I imagine if somebody wanted to do some kind of large commercial operation, as the Nelsons fear, that they would have, obviously, the public opportunity to be involved at that point, but I just don't think it would even get there.
Municipal Attorney Teresa Hillhouse said a conditional use permit is linked to a specific parcel, and that the best solution to the Nelsons' concern is for them to seek changes to the code on a broader level. Valerie Nelson told the Assembly that she has sued the city before over a zoning decision and could do so again.
You know, I can see where the, you know, Nelsons have some valid concerns.
That is Assemblymember Pete Esquiro speaking toward the end of the hour and 40-minute debate. He says the idea of an 8-child daycare in a zero-lot line house does not thrill him, but he also agreed that the way to address that is by changing the code.
We should instruct our staff to, you know, do whatever we need to do to get this cleaned up. You know, I personally kind of think it was a mistake to go beyond the 4 in this particular case in a zero lot line. But, you know, that's something that will have to be taken up somewhere else other than this forum.
The Assembly voted unanimously to uphold its earlier decision. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
In what's become a ritual of spring, members of the business community in Sitka will be gathering on two occasions this month to examine the local economy. In the first, the Sitka Chamber of Commerce will hold an economic summit this afternoon to hear presentations from a panel of Sitka's major industries. In the second, on next Tuesday, April 17th, the Sitka Economic Development Association will host a public forum to develop ideas to improve Sitka's economy. Chamber Director Jennifer Robinson has invited representatives from the charter industry, the city of Sitka, commercial fishing, the schools, healthcare, retail, and the visitor industry to give 5-minute overviews of their respective area. She says her panelists were surprisingly receptive to the idea.
I've had very good response. People are very willing to come forward and talk about where they see us as being at. I think I was actually surprised at how easy it has been to get people to speak. People have been really positive.
Robinson says a lot of the country is having a hard time and the economy is, quote, pretty important. But her panelists are concerned about more than numbers.
To me, it also speaks as to how much people care about Sitka.
Robinson looks at the summit as a listening session, laying the foundation for future discussion. Audience members at the summit will have limited opportunity to interact with the panelists today, but not so next week at CETA's Economic Forum. CETA Director Gary White says the Sitka Economic Development Association, the Sawmill Cove Industrial Park, and the city all have strategic plans. White says the Economic Forum is a chance to look outside those plans.
You know, there's some good ideas that are probably out there in the community, and we'd like to hear those and try to see what other good ideas there are to kind of bring in more money into the community, which will help us all have a better quality of life.
White says he's drawn inspiration from the success of the Sitka Health Summit and even consulted that event's planners for tips. The Health Summit is noted for turning ideas into action with broad-based support. White says economic development requires the same sort of champions.
It's really going to take a community to develop jobs. I can't see the CETA board can't create many jobs. We can go out and try to advocate for infrastructure and policies that bring in those jobs, but real entrepreneurs have to create those. And we're hoping that, you know, if we get this dialogue going, that folks are going to come in and they're going to realize what they need to do here in this community to bring more jobs in.
White says that the goal is to have some action items at the end of that meeting. Sitka's economy is not all gloom and doom. Fish abundance and prices have been relatively strong. The Forest Service is developing restoration and second growth timber markets. A fine arts campus is on the rebound, and cruise ship tourism, though low, may have bottomed out. White says the forum is not necessarily about reinventing Sitka's economy, but developing its assets.
Our economy has been very diverse, and we are very lucky. If you look at other communities around the state, they're 100% fishing, or they're 100% tourism, or they're 100% something else. We have that diversity of having fishing, tourism, healthcare, education. We've got a bunch of different sectors that can help, you know, balance us if one's down. And so, you know, the goal of this is just to strengthen what we have, but also look at to find out what other opportunities that we can achieve off of the assets that we have available to us.
The Sitka Economic Forum will convene from 1:30 to 5:30 next Tuesday, April 17th, in Harrigan Centennial Hall. Meanwhile, the Sitka Economic Forum will be today from 4 to 6 p.m., also in Harrigan Centennial Hall. The public is encouraged to attend both events. An assortment of community groups and government agencies struck a deal Tuesday about how to develop outdoor recreation in Sitka. The Sitka Sustainable Outdoor Recreation Action Plan is a 32-page wish list of ideas to develop the community's recreational infrastructure. Some of the ideas are simple, like developing a must-do list of Sitka activities that can be handed out to residents and visitors. Other ideas are more complicated, like a proposed seawalk stretching from O'Connell Bridge to the Sitka National Historical Park. The plan calls for mountain bike trails, marine recreation maps, diving opportunities, and better access to backcountry terrain. Carol Goulart is the Sitka District Ranger for the Tongass National Forest. She says the plan is a culmination of a long planning process, but also the beginning of a lot of work.
It's going to take money. It's going to take time. And some of these things may not even be possible. But the idea is what's important to carry forward to see if we can meet the idea in another way.
As an example, Goulart cited an idea from a focus group made up of older users. The plan refers to them as vintage. They asked for a step trail to provide better access to Sandy Beach.
Well, that's probably not possible because of the winter storm that the step would probably not stay there. So we're going to look at other ways of getting the vintage people to the beach.
The plan caters to residents, but also to visitors, with the hope of attracting new independent travelers to Sitka. The community has seen a steep drop-off in cruise ship visitors and is seeking new ways to bolster tourism. You can read the plan by following the link on our website at kcaw.org. And at just about 1 minute after 8 o'clock, that's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.